Now I want to move ahead to the so-called sixth perek of Avos. Avos really only has five prakim. It's referred to as the sixth perek because we have an additional chapter added on. It's actually not Mishnah, it's Braisa. We call it Perek Kinyan HaTorah because the minhag is to study it the Shabbos before Shavuos, so not this Shabbos, but next Shabbos. I thought we would try and study this perek in more intensive preparation for Zman Matan Torah Seinu. Now, you'll immediately notice the difference in the language is very stark between the, you know, terse, Tanaic language of the Mishnah and the more expansive language of the Braisa that you have here. It's much more expansive. Each section is much longer. So we're not going to be able to pay, you know, as much attention to each and every line. Well, we'll try as we have over the last number of weeks as we studied the first perek Be'iyun to try to really highlight two or three ideas per night. So this is the beginning. Shanu chachamim b'lashon ha-mishnah, baruch shebachar bahem u'b'mishnasam. Blessed is the one who chose the chachamim, and of course, the Torah study that they produced. Reb Meir Omer, kol ha'osek b'Torah lishma. So anybody who studies Torah lishma, so this is a little bit of an irony, point number one for the night. So a person who's not just lomei Torah, but osek b'Torah, which really connotes a degree of immersion in the mitzvah of study of Torah, but for its own sake. In other words, for the sake of Torah itself, for the sake of developing a relationship with he who gave the Torah, and not for any ulterior motive. So the irony is, Reb Meir says, Zochel advarim harbe. If that's your approach, if your approach is that you don't have any ulterior motive, you're not doing it for any external reason, the reality is that you merit many things besides Torah. But again, you have to do it for the right reason. If you do it for any other reason, so you're not going to be able to be zocha to the rest of which follows here in the Braisa. V'lo'od, moreover, elish kol olam kulo kedai hulo. This person justifies the world's existence. Now this takes us back to the very beginning of Pirkei Avos itself, when, of course, Shimon HaTzadik in the second Mishnah said that one of the things for which the world was created was Torah. So what does that mean for Torah? It means so that human beings could study the Torah, right? The antelopes and the gazelles are not going to do it for us. So we're going to have to do that for ourselves. So if you have one person in the world who's studying Torah, not for, you know, all the wealth that, of course, we know is associated with Torah, and all of the prestige that goes along with Torah, and the magazine covers that you'll undoubtedly get on, but if you have a person who's doing it for really the right reasons, so that justifies the world's existence. Nikra Reya, he's called a friend to Hashem. Oev es hamakom. Maybe that's more intuitive. But the second major point for tonight is Oev es habrios, and not just misameach es hamakom, but misameach es habrios. So how does this happen? Just because somebody, you know, studies Torah for its own sake, how does that cultivate a great love of humanity and somebody who brings joy to people? Well, that has to do with the nature of the discipline per se. I don't know, you can say this about other disciplines. If a person masters, let's say, chemical or mechanical engineering, I don't know that that's going to make them a great lover of humanity. But if you really immerse yourself in Torah, the core principle of which is v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, or the idea that human beings are created b'tzelem Elokim, if that becomes part of a person, they internalize it to such a great degree, so it's impossible to have that experience without it being transformative, and in turning that person to a great Oev es habrios and a Misameach es habrios. Not only that, but Malbashto Anava Beira, that encountering the profundity of Torah causes a person to become more modest and have a greater sense of awe and reverence. Umachsharto, and its preparation, Leos Tzadik, to be righteous, which means to do the right thing. To be a chassid means to go beyond that. Lifnim Mishur Asadin, as Rashi explains, to be a yashar. We've spoken about that almost every night. And to be honest, v'ne'eman, and reliable. That's an important, you know, characteristic. And, you know, a person's going to follow through on what they say. U'mirachakto minachet. And because this person so deeply identifies with Torah, that to violate the Torah would be, in a way, to betray himself or herself. And people don't do that. You know, people might cheat on something that they consider external, but people don't want to betray themselves. So when you have this kind of identification with Torah, people naturally become averse to sin, and it brings a person much closer to ongoing performance of mitzvahs. V'nehenin mimenu eitza v'tushia. So the mimenu here is a little bit vague. Rashi says either it means the person himself or Torah. And I would say it may not matter, because there's a famous Gemara in Avodah Zarah based on the pasuk in the first Mizmor of Tehillim, Kiim b'Torah Hashem chetzo v'saraso yege yomam v'layla. It starts off as Torah Hashem, l'vasof, the Gemara says, Nasis Taraso, becomes inseparable from a person. You have people like this, or Rav Moshe Feinstein, or Yaakov Kamenetsky, the Rav, that, you know, they become like walking, Chacham Uvadi Yosef, they become a walking embodiment of Torah itself. So V'nehenin Mimenu, either from Torah or from the Torah ambassador, great counsel and salvation, Bina, insight, Ugevura, and strength of character. So in other words, the point that's being raised here is that simply being in proximity to people who reflect this value gives other people, right? They make everybody around them better. It gives people greater insight, greater wisdom, greater strength of character. Shenemar li'etza v'tushia nivina li'gevura. And this is important, you know. I like sports, so I give sports analogies very often. So the difference between the great players and the immortal players in any sport is that the immortal ones always have a way of making the people around them better, right? The great players, so they could be great, but in team sports, you don't win championships that way because, you know, it's a team sport. But the people who make it, they raise the level of the people around them, that's what this Bryce is referring to. Senes lo malchus memshala gives a person a sense of true royalty, regality, nobility, v'chikor din, insight, umigalin lo razei Torah, they become to understand the inner workings of the Torah, v'nasek hemayin hamizgaber, chenar sheno posek, they become very dynamic and creative in their thinking, and yet at the same time, increasingly modest. They're tsanua, they don't do this to draw attention to themselves, but again, as part of the process of their immersion in Torah, v'erech ruach, and they become even more patient, and this will conclude, mochel al albono, they're forgiving of people who offend them, umigadalta maramto al kol amasim. So how does that happen? What's that last piece of it? That people who are, you know, really studying Torah for its own sake, so they become more patient and more forgiving by nature. So there's a great expression in English called, he's got bigger fish to fry. So let's say you have somebody who's, you know, really prizes and values time, because that's time to really immerse oneself in Torah. So it's true that on any given day, they could probably point to 500 petty slights that people had against them. So other people who don't have other things to do with their time, so they'll spend all their time focusing on, you know, this one, you know, insulted me or whatever, this one, you know, how could he have done this, you know, whatever it is. People that have bigger fish to fry, whatever it is in life, and, you know, certainly when it's something as noble as studying Torah Lishma, so they're not going to be so interested in settling all the scores of pettiness in life. And that's true, again, I'm not saying it's only true of people who study Torah. People who are very passionately involved in a certain pursuit, you know, they don't have so much time to get involved in the pettiness of life. And the he said, she said, you know, today we'd call them the Twitter wars or whatever, you know. So this is another very important byproduct of a person who loves Torah and studies it for its own sake. It helps save that person from all of the completely pointless wear and tear that comes with, he did this or she did that. It's just, it elevates a person, as we finished, umigadaltu umiromamto al kol ha-ma'asim.